Would you pray for us, sir?
Let's pray together. Father, your name is hallowed. Your name is the name that is above all names. Father, we're so thankful for your presence. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. Father, we know that we are people who were dead, but we've been made alive in Jesus Christ, that we've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Father, as these men are gathered here today, we pray that even in spite of all the sufferings and all the injustices in the world, we still believe that you're sovereign, we believe that you're Lord. And we pray that in these very times of difficulty that believers will be bold and that they will speak a word of you and that many can come to know you. Father, we just pray that we will trust you more, that we love you more, and that, Father, we will bear witness that you are the Christ. Father, for these personal needs that have been shared this morning, we lift them up to you. We know every concern. You told us to not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Father, we pray for all of these and the many requests beyond what's been mentioned. Father, we need you. We need you so desperately. We're so thankful this morning we can gather and look at your word, your living word, your word that can change our hearts and that can compel us to live for you. And Father, give us your peace, give us your joy. Be with Gary this morning and thank you for the many years that he has preached Jesus to us. Father, we're so encouraged by that. In his name we pray. Amen.
Now, we've been doing the book of 1 Corinthians, which is not always a book that's chosen even out of the New Testament. This isn't like I said yesterday, I was doing some underlining and work in Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Or Habakkuk, however you say it. And I thought, wonder how many people are doing their devotions this morning on a Habakkuk. Well, Corinthians is not the most popular book of the New Testament unless you're going to issues. Most people who either preach or teach it take a text out of Corinthians and never give you the oversight. This is going to be repetitious for a couple minutes. I tried to give you, first of all, a great sweep across there. This is going to be eight, nine weeks ago, which was to show you that at the beginning of chapter 3, I cannot speak to you as spiritual, but as babes. I have to feed you milk, can't give you solid food. And then later on, in chapter 12, now concerning the spiritual. So in the middle, you have church business. And that's pretty well how churches run. That much business and this much Holy Spirit. But we have all this stuff we need to deal with in the middle to lay the foundations. And we spent 5 weeks on the first four or five chapters, which was on this theme. Paul uses it, which is Apollos, Paul, Peter, Christ, divisiveness of clubs within the body of Jesus Christ based on, I lean toward his teaching. People who know me know I'm a Johannian. The fourth gospel rules in my life. And I find Luke to be a very weak gospel. When I say that, you see what I'm doing? I've gone into the word of the Lord and I feel at home in a certain area, and so I lean that way. And so if there's some kind of variance between John and Luke, well, Luke's wrong. Well, that's the kind of thing Paul's speaking again. Now, Paul doesn't just say, obviously, those who are of Paul are ahead of everybody else here. Paul doesn't say that. What he says is, the reason you are this way is you are thinking like the flesh and not thinking in the Spirit. He said, the Spirit has to govern. Now, that was our foundation before last week. Then last week, we finally got into these awful chapters. Chapter 5 was one where two persons who happened to be father and son we're having some form of sexual relationship with the same woman. And that became more than condemned. Paul then gave us the choice of confronting them and saying they should not be in the fellowship, remove them from the fellowship of the church, with the hope to be redemptive. That in the long run, you might save their spirit, but right now in the flesh, what they're doing cannot be named in the body of Christ. Now to do that, we went back and read a lot in Leviticus 18, if you'll remember, under the law. And we tried to remember that. And remember that we have a Gentile culture that is being penetrated with people like Paul. And we must not forget who Paul is, the great Pharisee of the Temple Square, the graduate of the University of Gamaliel. Remember, we did all this last week. All right? I've quickly jumped to chapter 6, which is how we get through these chapters, to pick up the next subject, which is believers going to law, and why is that wrong? Now, the reason why we will struggle over this is, in 2,000 years, the world's flipped over a few times, and in the flip over, we've created new governments. The ancient world they had republics, the Republic of Athens, and in the founding days of the empire, the Republic of Rome. The same thing happened to the republics then, they're happening today, repeating. I can't say what I'm going to say right now without being political, so just bear with me a second. Governments, to carry out what the citizens want them to do, must have more and more bureaucracy or employees. Eventually, the employees, for instance, something like Washington, D.C., and the counties right around it, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Northern Virginia, that bucket votes 80% one way when they vote. Because the people in that bucket, and it's big now, Washington, D.C. is huge, but it can't fit in the District of Columbia anymore. And the reason it's so big is all those offices are manned by people, even if it's down to secretaries and janitors, it's manned by people who are getting a living over that system. That kind of government doesn't get voted out every 2 years. It doesn't get voted out every 6 years. It becomes permanent. Well, Rome was filled with people who lived off the empire. By the time Paul's preaching, almost 60% of Rome is slave. You have to have a system to maintain a slave economy. And what you do is you build up. So we still think like our grandfathers, will elect this president and he'll go in and clean house. The fact is he gets in and finds out that the house, and I'll talk like teachers, has tenure that he's supposed to clean up and he's got 4 years. In other words, I'll be here when you're gone. Every preacher in town hears that from the board of elders when they come to the church, you know. Well, when you're gone, I'll still be here. And that's bureaucracy, all right? That creates a kind of system. And Paul is invading the system with a brand new word of truth. And these books came in a dynamic hour. Now, what you and I've done, I started out to tell you the world's flipped over. We've created a church that if you hurt my feelings or offend me, fine, I'll be at First Baptist next week. I'll be at First Presbyterian. You know what COVID did? Frank and I were talking about it on the side. COVID, we sat home and when we were watching our pastor because we were shut in for over a half a year, in the next 5 minutes, we were watching the best in the land. Well, our home product didn't look all that good. And the pastor sounds a lot better when you're all together with your best friends listening to him than he sounds when you flip channels and got Billy Bob George from Louisiana who's preaching to 10,000. You know. So you and I live in a church, we live in a world where church is democracy. When Martin Luther put his 95 theses on the door of the church, he did not go ask the board for permission. See, we have invented ways of doing church that make sense to us because we're corporate. You give money this Sunday and you know it'll be a ground for your tax records. How do you know that? Because your local church, no matter what you think, is incorporated with the land and it's tax sheltered. That's how it survives. There was no tax sheltered government system in the Roman Empire. Understand? These kind of ways we think. So when Paul says, get together and put them out of the church, you have to understand, if the board of elders puts you out of the church, you're going to hell. Not today. Today, if a board of elders acts away, who do they think they are? See? So it's hard for us to read these texts and realize that when Paul wrote this, it was a whole different world. Are you okay? I didn't get any controversy in that. I think I've just been so controversial. Okay? So now we come to the next one. And it's in the red box on your sheet of paper that St. Nicholas provided for you. The fact that you have lawsuits among yourselves demonstrates that you've already been defeated. You're already lost. Why not rather be wrong? Oh yeah, I'll sign up for that one. I have to fill my gas tank today. I already feel I've been wronged. All right? Why not rather be defrauded? That's what I'm afraid of every time I'm on the internet. No, you yourselves wrong and cheat. And you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I understand that unrighteous means homosexual. We did that last week, by the way. No. He's saying, if you act vindictive toward a brother, do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, the idolater, the adulterer, male prostitutes. Now, in some of your Bibles, the word's effeminate, but it means men who play the role of women in sexual activity. Male prostitutes, okay? Practicing homosexuals. Practicing's my word in there. The word in Paul uses homosexuals. Period. Thieves. Greedy graspers. Drunkards. The verbally abusive. Do you mean if I'm verbally abusive to somebody, it ranks right in there with adultery? Well, it's on Paul's list. So we have the verbally abusive. Swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my. Some of you once lived this way, but you have been through purifying waters. You've been washed. Okay, I'm trying to say that right. I was raised in Iowa. We don't go do a washing. We do washing. I don't know why there isn't an R in there, because I've said it with an R all my life. When you do cleaning, it's war in our house. Yeah.
Wash thoroughly, as Scripture, right? What is the
That's right. Absolutely clean. So Christians are not to be, listen to this one, not to be inconsistent. Well, let's go on here. We'll finish this box, then we'll talk. You have been dedicated to God. That's my way of saying you've been sanctified. So you could say that could have been you've been purified. Been through cleansing water. You've been consecrated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. There's the whole work of the unified Godhead. Anyone united with Christ is now one spirit. Most of your translators with one with God or one with the Spirit. But I'm taking it straight out of the ancient language, and Paul wrote, you've become one spirit if you're united to Jesus Christ. Okay. Want to discuss that before we do those points that are underneath it at all?
Question or statement. It seems that Paul is dealing with a physical ear. But did not Christ say that we are to be even better than the Pharisees in our belief, which is physical? He says, mentally, you can do the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, if I believe Jesus said what he did when he wrote the Gospels, and if I don't, I'm in deep trouble.
Right.
Jesus said that you can commit adultery without ever touching the woman.
Right. It just goes to show that we'll never get to heaven without the grace of God.
Yeah. Well, let's look what I've written down below. Number one, I think we need to understand, first of all, so that we're all together on the same page, that this is a bit of review, but we need to remember the nature of sin. Beginning with Adam and Eve, but sin, very simply stated, is rebellion. It is the human being saying, my life. The heart of sin is that I would be as God, knowing good and evil. In other words, I am the final arbiter of what's good and bad for me. That is sin. Here's how sin plays out in everyday life. I have rights to my body. This is my life. You can't tell me what to do.
I can have an abortion if I want to.
That's right. That's right. See, somebody says, absolutely you have right over your own life. You didn't have to have sex. You were in control. But that life you're about to cut out of you is another life. And you're saying because it's inside you physically, you have the right to kill it. See, that's that way we don't discuss. The only way abortion rights work is if the mother has full rights and the baby has none. That's the only way it'll work. Well, the way sin is my turf, my way. That's the foundation of all lawsuits. That's the foundation of all perversion. I have my rights. This is me. And so tread on me. We're having a trial right now in Tennessee because the driver got upset because he was cut off in traffic. And I think it was on the 440 that the nurse from Vanderbilt was shot dead. Well, she cut him off. And he killed her. Why? My lane. My traffic. My rights. My schedule. Now that is the heart of sin. See, we think sin is cussing and swearing and drinking and... Yeah. Sin is a mental position. It's in the heart. And the sin is mine. So before adultery is intercourse. Adultery is me. The uncrucified me is the source of all rebellion. Any problem? Question. Number two, the nature of God. Jesus, when you say Jesus is the Son of God, what are you saying? And what you believe in your head when you use the word God determines how you're redeemed and everything else. Everything else is on your inner understanding of what we mean when we say the word God. If God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, we need to understand the issue of right and wrong is the issue of Christ, because Christ is God. If in your heart you carry the concept that God is behind Christ, that there's a God behind Christ and that's the real God, then you've already split God. But the fact that God, the eternal God of Israel, the creator of all the universe, came to us in Christ changes the whole thing, because the ascension of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in Gail, is the same God who died on the middle cross. One God came to us threefold. So the God in you, the Spirit of God, is not the third God. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, let me say that a different way. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth was God walking the face of the earth. The church has said it as his second person. Yes, as his second person, but not as a second personality. The will of God was in Christ Jesus redeeming the world to himself. Okay? So if you have been made a participant of Jesus Christ, you have been made a participant in the Holy Spirit. Christ in you is the Holy Spirit in you. That's how he is present. By the way, the word holy doesn't have to be there, because it's Holy God, Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit too. See? So you could just say the Spirit is in fact the mind of Jesus Christ in you. You have been grafted into Christ. It's not just church membership. It's not a club. This is the struggle Paul's having. He says, I have to deal with these things, but you're not thinking spiritually. You need to understand, if Christ has been united to you, how can you unite yourself to a prostitute? He's going to say that. You're taking part of the body of Jesus Christ that he's come to live in and uniting it physically with a whore. Now that's not, we don't translate the Bible with that word. So prostitute could be that. See? So we're doing that. And he's going to say that. Now he's going to say, when I'm suing you, it's because I have not yet seen that I've lost my life in Christ. I'm still seeing myself as a separate individual. Hear me now. Americanism can be the enemy of a spiritual church. Ron.
When I was in Alabama, the church I was attending had a piece of property that was questionable. And there was going to be lawsuits back and forth. Well, one of the members of the board brought this up about, you don't sue one another. You know, let's work it out. But Yeah, we don't need a suit. And I thought it was very, very, I don't know how to phrase it. But the board member who brought that up read the passage to the board and says, we can't do that.
I was part of the reclamation of a church building on the West Coast, Portland, Oregon, that had a preferred risk was the insurance and the building collapsed. It was an architect builder's nightmare. And preferred risk would not pay $1 to the rebuilding of the church without lawsuit. Lawsuit is the only way you activated the insurance papers. And they sat in my office, and this is what they said to me. They said, it's okay, Reverend, you can relax. This will never go to court. But this is the way you have to do business in the United States. Now, the truth is the settlement was $3.5 million. And in 1980, $3.5 million's a little more than now. But it was settled through the process of court court action. Yeah. The legal system, yes, sir.
But aren't we talking about those within the body?
Yes.
Because you have to look at it personally, you have to look at it differently in dealing with those outside the body.
That's a fine line to draw.
Yeah, but you know, you have to be comfortable, you know, I know Frank would know, me suing Frank is wrong. Me suing, you know, somebody outside the body, I don't necessarily think it's wrong. You know, the church thing, the insurance company's outside the body. And they're you know, sometimes they're counting on you, well, he'll roll over and play dead. Well, I don't do that real well.
Anybody else?
That insurance man may have been part of the body, though.
The company wasn't.
But sold the policy.
Well, it seems here that you just didn't want.
I'm sorry.
It seems here you didn't want to take your brother for unbelievers and settle this dispute. It's more the whatever you call it, what this is, as opposed to situations you have with the world to get whatever. I don't know. That's maybe above my thinking of God's way.
Well, there is a cost to doing business. You have to work within the system. Right now, it's the system of the United States of America. But in the Roman Empire, a lot of systems had not been formally gelled yet. They're still in the time of the first four Roman emperors. And this is an interesting sermon.
Paul went to the government when he was in Caesarea to avoid going to Jerusalem.
Yes.
So he used the system as it existed.
Yeah, his appeal to Caesar got him out of being taken up to Jerusalem. Yep. Number five, the nature of the congregation of God. See, if I put the word Church of God there, I've been in a denomination. Church of Christ, I'm in a group. And you see what I mean? So I'm trying to avoid all that to get you to think about the family of the Lord. Number one, beware of the leaven of Pharisees. That's right out of the mouth of Jesus, by the way. What do I mean by that? Were the Pharisees religious? Oh, baby. Were they strict? Yeah. You haven't seen the like, no matter who the strictest person is in your fellowship. Were they Bible-oriented?
Yeah.
Yep, that's what the Barna surveys are saying. We want people who have a biblical base of ethics and stuff. Oh, what does that mean? You know, and you've already heard me do it many times. Mormons are Bible-based. Jehovah's Witnesses are Bible-based. You know, I just think, remember the Bible. The Bible is only as good as the hands that are using it. So, what is the leaven of Phariseeism? It is a studying of the text until you come up with a system whereby you color inside the lines, and anything outside the lines is fair game. So you are religious because you are doing the practices. There was a way of dressing, a way of eating, a discipline of time and week. It governed everything and how they talked. And by the way, all three of these, the Herodians and the Sadducees, you put them all together and put a heavy exclamation point on Phariseeism, and you have religion nailing Jesus Christ to the cross. Okay? Beware of the leaven of the Herodians. If you don't get that today, probably in this hour, I'd say beware of the leaven of the Republicans. Now I've got your attention. Listen to me. We line up on issues according to what advances the political cause we our hearts go to, that we are, and the other ones are destroying our country, and we line up with that. And we line up sometimes when it doesn't make sense. You can't be pro-life at the point of abortion and not be pro-life in other issues too. If you're going to say you're pro-life, think that all the way through what that means. But what's happened is this advances the Republican Party, this advances the Democratic Party, and we begin to make our ethics based on that. In Middle Tennessee, according to what they're studying right now, one of the number one reasons why people under the age of 40 change churches is based on whether or not their pastor is right on certain social political issues. Beware the leaven of Herodianism. Beware of the Sadducees. That's religious system. In my movement, the way they do that is they always say, he's a good churchman. Well, you can be a good churchman and go to hell. Question is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You have been washed. You've been filled with the Spirit. You're supposed to have a different heart. And that's what Paul's saying. We have to deal with these issues because you're not spiritual. Wait a minute. Is he talking about the church? Yes. The book of Corinthians is written to the church. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, Jesus also said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And you know, to me, that goes a long way. I mean, they were well studied, well everything, but they weren't righteous. They were not doing.
No, don't shut up.
I got a show.
Your wife's not here. Go right ahead. She may be listening this afternoon. Somebody? Did I see some?
Isn't the whole issue behind much of this money?
Yes.
And it says,
well, not your sexual gratifications. You'll give money for that.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look through all of these things that Paul wrote about, he wrote to Timothy and told him the love of money is the root of all evil. Our focus is on money. And that's what we're after. And the truth is, when we think from a Republican's position, and I will admit that I am one of them, but our focus is we need to have somebody who's leading the nation that will allow us to make as much money as we can make.
Well, greed is a form of lust. We who are on pensions and stuff, we're not greedy. We're just trying to get out of here without emptying the bucket. So, yeah, greed is a form of lust.
Hickey, you were talking a minute ago about churchmen, and it brought back a memory maybe 40 years ago, a long time ago, but I never forgot. Is we would go and pick up children sometimes to bring. We didn't have a way. This was in East Nashville. And we're picking up some children to bring in to church. And while I was there, I was doing the church work, or I was doing, you know, doing good. That's what we do. But this little black girl, probably 6, 7, 8 years old, maybe, I don't know, I can see her. I've never forgotten what she looked like. And she says to me, "Are you a church man?" And looking back, I thought, I need to just get my children out of the bus and let's go over and read the Bible with her or whatever, you know, whatever that meant because of curiosity there with the child. And I think that's it. If we could hear the Spirit call, that gets us out of taking it to, the Lord will take it to the people.
See, I think this entire book, there are people alive right now who are understanding this book entirely as God's relationship with Israel and the covenant with Israel and what it means. And so what's happening right now is Israel. I notice on TV right now all the ads are the Christians supporting the Jews and how you can help fulfill the call of Abraham and help them give it. So it's a spiritual issue for you to send money to help the Jews get out of someplace. Right now it's the Ukraine, but to get to Israel and to be there and all that. That's a good cause if you want to do it. I suggest going on through all this, the call of Abraham and all this. The real issue is the God who created the universe is calling us back to himself.
Amen.
Israel is the instrument he's using, and of all the peoples of the earth, all the tribes of the earth, he used this little Semite tribe. And he came to them. But all the way through the kings and the prophets, you know, go ahead, Samuel, give them a king. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. No, we want to get organized so we're not being killed by the Moabites. No. The reason you want to get organized is, this is not about the survival of Israel. This is about God wooing a people out of the earth. What happens then is you make Israel the cause. Ken Hughes is gone from us now, but when he was with us, what Brother Hughes said one day in the middle of our meetings over at the other restaurant, he said, "Do you believe in substitutionalism?" Which meant the church took the place of Israel. And I said, "No, I believe both those causes are wrong, the church and Israel." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, the issue was Jesus Christ, around whom we needed a church, and as a result, we made serving the church synonymous with serving Christ. But the issue is Jesus Christ. So when the prophets begin to write and preach, the prophets are saying this, God says, "I'm just sick of your sacrifices." Well, you ordered them. He says, "Get rid of your holy holidays. You carved them in the rock. You're the one that told us to do this." Yeah, but you see what you've done is you've made, that's what I was after, that you would not eat pork and not eat shrimp and not cut your hair in a certain way and wear fringes on the edge of your garment. And you think that's what makes you Jew. All of that was so that you would come to me. And yet you won't come to me. And you made this system. And so finally, the prophets say, "But he's coming. And say to the cities of Judah, get up and shout it out to those villages. Behold your God. Prepare on the highway a desert. Smooth out the high places. Make gentle the rough. Prepare in the desert a highway for your God. Your God comes to you, O Zion, humble and riding on an ass and on the foal of an ass and all that stuff. It's all about Him. Then, when He is here, He said, you study the Scriptures because you think in them you have life. But they speak of Me. And you won't come to Me that you have life. You think My Father, who you call your God, is with you. But you see, you have made the Word of God ineffective in your lives because of your traditions. There becomes the rub, see? What they had done is they had so systemized what it meant to be a... Today, what it means to be a Christian, but to be a Jew. They didn't know it's not about being a Jew. You're one of them if you're just born with the right blood. It's not about being a Jew. It was about God. And here's Paul saying, the reason you've got all this mess going on is you're still living in the flesh. And you're not realizing the issue is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come down to the bottom and say, the whole issue of the kingdom is the Holy Spirit. And notice the very last line. Anyone who's united with Christ is one spirit with him. Now, there is that trait little book, What Would Jesus Do? But the thing for you and me is to ask, is my life a reflection of the fact that I am not my own? I have been grafted into the body of Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit lives within me and reigns. And for me to live is Christ. And since I have to die anyhow, all they do is if they take my life is they... An inevitable death just came a little earlier. But I'm going to die no matter what. So death is not an issue. What can they do to me? Now, from the day you got married, it's not quite as simple as anything I just said. You know why? Because you have to take care of her. You have to provide. And your ego's in that too. It's not only just duty, but you're not a good husband unless you're a good care. So you have issues. Some of you have been prolific and have big families. Frank has a tribe. His Christmas card is huge. You care about every one of those little ones. They are the center of your universe and you have to help them. So you're not just a provider, you are a protector and a provider. Well, the new inner being of God, number 6. Notice I made sure I had the perfect number 7. Obedience, humility, simplicity, and peace. Jesus was not just an all righteous man who told us the truth. Nor was he just simply God walking in human flesh. Just simply. Whew, was that a mouthful? Listen, Jesus was God living the life that originally he meant for all humanity to live. So why didn't he have a publicity committee to get the word out? Why didn't he sit down like a Karl Barth and write 36 volumes of Principles of Truth to leave us teaching so we could walk right in? I mean, why did he leave? Why did he pick a bunch of nincompoops to write the Gospels? I mean, he just picked guys off the street. And what stories we got left, they don't look real good. Of course, now they're saints, but I mean, back then, they never did get it. Why would God sit on a hillside? There's a whole Roman Empire out there. Why would he be outside Capernaum? This God of utter simplicity saying, this whole life system you've built of success and not success, and who's ahead and who's not, it's all human man-made. It's not the life. God gave you a life of simplicity and peace and obedience in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God living the perfect life. His life is the sermon. He is preaching simplicity.
And all the rest of it is stuff.
Yeah.
It's just stuff.
Just stuff. Now, I live it very simply. He has a bloodline now that's big enough to have a whole convention meeting to divide his furniture for he and his wife. I have nobody. You know what I'm busy doing now? Trying to find somebody who would be interested in having it. Does anybody, for instance, when we were young, we got a 16-place setting of Sterling because it was a good investment. It isn't, you know what it's worth right now? The melted down value of silver.
Yeah.
You want to know why? My godkids and stuff, they don't want it. You have to polish it, you have to maintain it. They just soon have plastic.
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots. They don't know what value is there. See, what I don't realize is I'm the one with the warped value. They really are right. All it is good for is to eat off of. No, no, no. I was eating finer than anyone else. Oh, sure I was. Do you see what I'm saying? This is, honestly, this is where we're at. You see, when I say we're very complex and God's very simple, just me talking to you this morning, do you know how many miracles are going on in my brain and my oxygen and all that? And just before I went to the restroom to make sure I could make it through a full hour. Because all this stuff is part of me being alive doing this. God is one. See, I'm a machine that he made to know him. And because in this complexity of all the things that have to happen for me to even understand him and comprehend him, I think God is more complex because he's so deep. No, he's not at all. He's extremely simple. God is love. And he's come to us in Jesus Christ to say, get free of the stuff that makes you think you have to fight with each other. Get free of it. Live in the simplicity of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul's writing. Now, it's complex because he's got to deal with the fact that these guys are doing this stuff. So, that I notice I slipped into number 7. God is love. Now, other things that we talk about, like grace and holiness, those are aspects of love. What is God's grace? It is love coming out to you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found love. And the real simple thing is the love is the kingdom. You know, God saved you so you wouldn't go to hell. Oh, no, 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 no. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but to redeem it. Reclamation.
We missed the point. Because the purpose is not to save us. The purpose is us to fulfill the reconciliation.
Yes,
that's the goal, not us being saved, us being the reconcilers.
And Dr. Tom, you're absolutely right. It's reconciling the whole universe, the cosmos.
And we're kind of a little side heady in that. Get us on board to that happens.
We become part of the healing agent because we have moved from being the cancer to being the healer. But in the hour that we begin to act in greed or act in vengeance, we are part of the cancer. We're the destructive. And he's saying, the reason we have to deal with these issues is you're still thinking like men of the flesh. And men of the flesh, you can't do that to me. my rights, my property, my collection. I fought my whole life to have this. Any questions? I'm done, aren't I? Boy, am I done. I'm probably done in more ways than I know. By the way, if you're in the room and you gave me a DVD movie to watch, a Christian movie, let me clear that up so I'm not in too much trouble. I have it. I brought it for 3 weeks, but I think the person who loaned it to me is not in the room, but I don't want to make a mistake. God bless you. Thanks for being with me and putting up with me. It's been great to be here. Thank you again to the Donaldson Church of Christ and the Board of Elders. Thank you to you men who are about to tear this place apart and put it back together. God bless you and good day.
Thank you, Seth.